Hello and welcome to Rogue Cell Radio, a community radio show hosted by two combat veterans who are passionate about helping veterans and fostering community. The show aims to support and celebrate veterans on the North Coast and discuss local issues. I'm your host, Sean Davis. I left the Army Infantry after 12 years as a platoon sergeant. While I was in the Army, I was deployed to a revolution in Haiti, a war in Iraq, and I received a Purple Heart, our country's largest natural disaster in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina.
I'm Brad Peitzig. I'm the producer of the show. I was an engineer officer and a mathematician in the U.S. Army. I went to Iraq twice and I served for 15 years. I retired as a major. And I'm happy to be here with you, Sean.
Yeah, I'm happy you're here. So we're two combat veterans doing a radio show on the north coast of Oregon in southeast Washington. Why do you think that's a thing?
Well, about 5 or 6% of the U.S. population are veterans. But did you know that Clatsop County, where we live, is about 12% veterans? If you've listened to us before.
Yeah, we say this a lot. Yes, we have at least double the national average of veterans. Pacific County, Washington has about 10%. Tillamook County has 12%. Columbia County to the east is about 10% as well.
Sean and I are on the steering committee for Together with Veterans Northwest Oregon. It's one of 36 chapters across the country. Their only mission is to stop veteran suicide in rural communities.
Our mission here on Rogue Cell Radio is to support our veterans and their family members on the North Coast. So let's get to our guest today. We have Stitch. Now, he's been on our show before as a Special Forces veteran who just left the service. He and his family recently moved to Astoria. Today, we're speaking to him because he recently did something that too many veterans can't do. He asked for help. Too many veterans think that they have to go through this all alone after getting out. And in many cases, that can lead to some very dark places, maybe even suicide. But Stitch did the hard thing and he checked himself in to a PTSD program.
So thanks for joining us today, Nick.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, you had a part in getting me here. It was up until the 12th hour that I was really thinking, I don't want to go. I have stability here and I'm struggling, but what's going to happen if I change the environment? I'm just going to fall apart. And, you know, you told me that, like, hey, you know, this would be a great stepping stone for you to just be straight out of the military and getting the help you need to really set the tone for, you know, the rest of my life that, you know, we all fought real hard for, you know, our fellow countrymen to have freedom, and we deserve freedom too, and our families deserve to have us.
Yeah, quality of life.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for that, Nick.
Yeah,
but to me, I think the healing takes courage, and I'm proud of you, brother, for attending this program.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and I think I'm hoping the reason I really want to do this interview, because I want to show other people, other veterans who are out there, you know, men, women, whoever, that, like, hey, you can get help. And I know it seems like it might be a scary thing, but you can do it. So thank you for being an inspiration for others. It's really amazing.
So you said you went back and forth quite a bit. What had you leaning towards going into the program, and what had you leaning out of the program?
Leaning towards, you know, this person who basically vets the people who come in. She's been sticking with me for 6 months, you know, and I've been dragging my feet on coming into the program. But, you know, she's telling me about how they have multiple modalities that they use: cold water plunges, cognitive processing therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, group therapy, yoga, all these different kinds of things. And it sounded like it would be helpful. And I was assured that it was nothing like the hospital experience I had inpatient, which was quite traumatizing. This is a residential program where we have freedoms, where we can go out on passes on the weekends. We can go to things like pottery class, or even those demo rooms where you go and break a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I had never heard of that.
I had never heard of that either.
Yeah, or they call them an anger room. Yeah, you pay, like, you know, between usually 30 to 50 bucks. And then, you know, depending on your group size, you get a 15-minute slot, a 30-minute slot. And there's just furniture and all kinds of stuff in there. And you can just destroy it all.
That sounds like really therapeutic.
So, and this seems like it works. You seem like you're happy with it, especially compared with your inpatient PTSD visit at the hospital. Is this a VA thing that you're going through?
Well, VA, I guess, doesn't cover it anymore, but TRICARE does. And the person who got the lady who does the vetting for who comes here, she used to be work for an insurance company, so a medical insurance company. So she knows all the ins and outs. So if you got TRICARE, she will make it happen. That's what she did for me. She made sure that it would happen. Even though I didn't know exactly who to talk to in TRICARE, she did all that for me.
Well, it just seems like the VA should cover it, but as long as, you know, TRICARE, that's good too. I just don't know if other veterans, and I'm glad that you're there and all, but a lot of veterans just have, you know, VA coverage and not the TRICARE, but I guess that's something that to work out.
Things that we're against, you know, I was struggling so much with constant anxiety, nonstop, really, really high anxiety. And I thought to myself, I mean, I've got the stability here, you know, with my wife and kids. We're doing better than we ever have. I was scared to leave that stable environment. And I thought I would just fall to pieces. And I just remembered back in this time in the TACP schoolhouse, the special ops training schoolhouse, where I was rucking. I had maybe about 100 pounds worth of gear on me, and it was a 12-mile ruck. And I was at mile 4. I was holding about maybe like an 8:45-minute pace per mile. And I just remember my hearing going away. I had my heart pounding in my throat, spots in my vision. And I'm just thinking, I can't do this, man. I can't freaking do this, man. And then I like came up in my mind. I was like, can I take another step? Yes. Can I take another step? Yes, I can. And then out of nowhere, boom, I burst through this wall and I was stronger than when I even started the run. And so I just remembered that. I was like, can I technically go to this? Can I technically handle this? Yeah, I think I can. It's going to be extremely unpleasant. I'm, you know, they call it catastrophizing. I'm thinking the worst. But I was like, yeah, I can technically do this. And I'm glad I did.
So, I mean, that sounds like CBT stuff right there with catastrophic thinking and thought distortions. And then you turning around and telling yourself a different narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you did that right on intuitively before you even heard of this stuff.
What was the deciding factor that you said, yes, I'm going to go?
My family, and just the fact that I couldn't enjoy the time with my wife, the time with my kids, you know, just that numb, disconnected and anxiety. I was constantly anxious, and I didn't like, I struggled to just even go out of the house with my wife. She'd go to the store, go shopping. I'd go with her, and I'd say maybe about 80% of the time I just sit in the car, but I'm like, at least I'm getting out of the house. Yeah. And then in the store, I could last 10 minutes tops. And then I was like, I need the keys. And, you know, she gave me the keys and I could go sit outside. And I just, that's not a way to live. Yeah.
No, that's not. And I've been there to where I couldn't take a step into Walmart or Fred Meyer or any of the big box stores where everybody's at. And
yeah, my whole thing,
yeah,
going to places that are highly populated, a lot, especially after I just come home from the war, was I would triage threats. I was like, all right, this guy, definitely. No, that guy, probably not. That old lady, probably not. But as they'd get close to me, in my head, like involuntarily, I'd be like, all right, what's the best and fastest way I could put this person down so they're not a threat anymore? And so you're going through that in your head. You're like, this is not a normal thing. You know, I should probably.
Oh my God. It's like you're reading my mind, the same thing. It's like we have these, even though our stories are different, it's like we have the same struggles.
Yeah.
All of us across the board have these like same struggles. And yeah, I did like a security bubble thing. I would go secure myself first and then move the bubble out to my family and then move it out to like 10 or 15 feet to where it's within a couple of seconds if someone were to lunge at us. And then it was noticing, you know, all the way out as far as I could see on the street.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when, you know, people you don't know are trying to kill you constantly.
Yeah.
So you talked about a couple different kinds of programs there, where you talked about an inpatient, and I don't remember if this is before the interview or during it, where you said it was a traumatizing experience. And I've been in a program like that, and it was solely focused.
Oh, you're talking about the inpatient in the hospital before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you. And it seems like a lot of programs are just, how can I put a Band-Aid on this person so they don't commit suicide? And
yeah, it's like maximum emergency mode.
But it sounds like you're in a program where they're more teaching you how to live and to thrive. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, there's a guy here who's been here for 4 months, and he's just gotten approved through TRICARE for another 30 days here. And, you know, he's got wife and kids that he loves, but, you know, he's, you know, a combat vet with a, you know, he's an infantryman. And so he's got a lot of stuff that he's dealing with, and he has a lot of stuff from his childhood. It seems like, you know, all of us, we have that traumatic kind of childhood that kind of starts as the seed for PTSD because of how we process things later on in life because of our early childhood. And so, yeah, there's people that just even come for just the day and then they go back home. So there's people that live here. This program's in San Diego. And this one guy, yeah, he comes in with his service dog and he just comes in at 10 a.m. Programming is from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's when all the scheduled learning stuff is. And then he just leaves and goes home. Some people only come for a few classes and then leave.
And it's working for them?
Yeah. Well, they spent time here as a resident. The one I was talking about, he was here for like 3 months and then he kind of graduated to coming in just not as a resident, just coming in for the day.
So
there's a lot of flexibility. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you can leave at any time. You're not like locked in anywhere.
That's right. That was one of my biggest factors for not wanting to come. I was like, I don't want to be trapped. I don't want to be trapped here. I don't want to, if I all of a sudden don't want to be here, then they're like, oh, well, now you got to go inpatient then because you're freaking out. And the lady was like, no, it's not like that at all. If you do want to leave against medical advice, then you'd have to pay for your own plane ticket back home. But that's if, like, you know, I was like highly suicidal or something like that, and I left against medical advice, they would still let me go.
Right.
Yeah. So that was comforting.
Yeah. So it's not like a 3-day hold or anything like that.
No.
You know, because I know a lot. In my experience talking to other infantry guys that I was with, they'd go down there and say, "Hey, listen, you know, I do have thoughts of killing myself, and I do have thoughts of self-harm." And then they put them in a 72-hour hold in a psych ward, which just makes all of their symptoms just worse and worse. And then that after the 3 days, they're like, what do we do with this person? But then I've also had, you know, infantry guys go in and they get a medical lobotomy. They just give them pills enough to make them numb to everything. And that's
they did that to me. Yeah, that was awful. I was like having trouble breathing. Yeah, I was so heavily sedated me, I was like struggling to breathe.
Yeah, that's just horrible. That's horrible. So what's working for you now that you're down there? What type of activity?
It's just that the classes, they do these sessions 50-minute increments. And sometimes, you know, it's like, yeah, CBT, Jeopardy. And then 3 times a week, you have individual sessions with a therapist, which is helpful.
Oh, that's great. And you said earlier that you did a polar plunge today.
Yes, I did a polar plunge. That was intense.
Why?
I figured.
Why?
I Because they said it would be fun. They said try it, it'll be fun. And so I tried it.
It'll be fun. Try it. Just throw your body into 45-degree water and hold it there for 6 minutes. It'll be fun.
I know there's plenty of research behind this, but
yeah, it's hard to get yourself to want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the general that at like a graduation speech or somebody or something just said, every day, start your day with a cold shower?
Oh, well, there was Admiral McRaven. He did a great commencement speech at Texas something. And yeah, Admiral McRaven, and that's the make your bed speech. Definitely, yep. That's a good one to check out.
No, I believe in making my bed every morning because it does give you kind of a sense of accomplishment. But you know what? Doing dishes doesn't do anything for me. I do that every day, and it's like, nope, doesn't do anything.
But I remember him saying, you know, he's like, you know, you make your bed and you've accomplished the first thing of the day. And if, you know, perchance you do have a crappy day, you come home to a bed that is made.
And it's true. It's 100% true. It really, that does work. But as far as doing other household chores, no, nothing else works. It's just the bed thing.
And then they do Reiki as well. They do chair yoga. So more trauma focused yoga so that, you know, it's, you know, normal yoga. I did that in one of the trauma intensive outpatient courses that I went to in Landstuhl, Germany. And it was 5 weeks, and each week we did yoga, and I ended up getting injured because, like all of us service members, when we're trained to physically train, we push our body.
Push it to the limit.
Bodies. Yeah.
Oh, no. You were doing one of those stretches, and you accidentally, like, hurt yourself.
And I hurt myself, and the lady kept saying, you're supposed to be kind to your body. Drop your shoulders. You're supposed to be doing this with kindness to yourself. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
I'm going to win.
That word that you just mentioned, I've never heard it before. Kindness?
Kindness to myself? Why would I do something like that?
Hello, if you're just joining us. This is Rogue Cell Radio. I'm Sean Davis, and this is Brad Peitzik. And we're speaking to, Stitch. We're speaking to Stitch. Why does he go by Stitch? Because we can't really say his name. That's what you get for going through all the Special Forces courses.
Because he loves Disney movies.
Yeah. You know, there was a radio malfunction in the Tactical Operations Center, and so as my lead JTAC was Joint Terminal Attack Controller, lead JTAC was calling back to me, and I was going, "Yep, Brutal 5-0 here. Go ahead." And he's like, "Brutal 5-0, come in. Brutal 5-0, Bell, Tinkerbell." And then one of the guys in the talk was like, "Oh, he called you Tinkerbell." I was like, "Don't call me Tinkerbell." And they were like, "Whoa!" And so it was like, I was from before that point, I was known as the big friendly Hawaiian guy. But then, you know, if you make fun of me and say mean things, I go crazy, just like Stitch goes crazy. So that's where I got my call sign.
That's another Disney character. All right. So let's talk about the reason why I think this conversation is so important, which I'm so happy that you did this. And I'm happy for you and your family. And I'm sure it's going to help out. But I was excited because I wanted to know, I wanted other people who are in the same situation, other veterans. And they're thinking like, should I do this? Should I not do this? And, I'm just really excited that you could be an inspiration to help other veterans decide to get help. What would you say to a veteran who has had problems with PTSD, but they're like, "Oh, it's not that bad. I can live with it. You know, I'm just going to do this. I don't want to take resources away from another veteran who might need it more." Or, you know, I don't really have PTSD, but they obviously have some symptoms. What would you tell them?
I'd tell them, brother, that's no way to live. That's no way to live, definitely. You deserve better, and so does your family. And it's scary when you're isolated and on your own. You know, we're in the military, we're a cohesive unit. And then outside of the military, that cohesion is gone, that community is gone. And coming here and hearing stories that are, you know, of all different backgrounds, but all of them trauma, and we're not alone. And hearing, you know, I say something, put myself out there, be vulnerable. And then, bam, I hear another guy across the way say, yep, yeah, same thing with me, same thing with me. And you really, you see that you're not alone. And that is such a comforting feeling to know that you're not alone and to be with guys that are going to support you. You're back in that, having that community. And that can be like a nice stepping stone into living your own life.
Well, that's exactly, I mean, hearing it from you is really going to go really far, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so we all have families, and what if, you know, the veteran's not listening to this radio show right now, but maybe his wife or her husband or mother or father, grandparents, whoever, family member is listening to it. What advice would you give a family member who thinks that maybe their veteran should do something like this, but they're might be afraid of bringing it up because, you know, the vet's going to be like, no, 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 I can do this. I'm fine. I'm strong.
Make them feel like they're heard. Don't try and, you know, tell them, try and force them into it, because, you know, that's how we're trained. You know, when, you know, we're pushed to do something we don't want to do, we're going to hunker down and fight even harder. But have that conversation and have, you know, reflective listening, you know, the, be like, tell me why you don't want to go. And then, you know, say, okay, this is what I'm hearing you say. And then that's, that gives the veteran a chance to go, no, no, that's not what I'm saying. It's more like this. And then repeating it back again, just like as a TACP and special ops, we have mandatory readbacks on what's called a 9 line for calling in an airstrike. And it's mandatory that we read back 4 and 6, the target location and the target elevation, and then also any special remarks. And so that is key to making sure that that bomb goes in the right place. And so it's key to, you know, taking care of your veteran, your spouse, that you're understanding them and hearing them, because maybe they don't know how to communicate what they're going through because they're struggling so much. And so to really make them feel heard, I know that's what made me feel safe, is being heard by my spouse, the person who's closest to me and that I've chosen to spend my life with, knowing that they're hearing me and listening to me. That really put my guard down and made me more receptive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to what we were talking about as far as, like, if you're a family member and you're listening to this radio show and you don't know what to say to your veteran, but you think that, you know, you want to encourage them to get the help that they need. You're not on your own. You can definitely email us here at Rogue Cell Radio. I'm Sean, S-E-A-N, at roguecell.org. And there's Brad, B-R-A-D, at roguecell.org. Those are our emails. Or you can check out the website, roguecell.org, and try to contact us that way, or go to our Facebook page. We have a little Facebook group, Rogue Cell Radio and Documentary, and you can contact us that way as well.
Yeah.
And we'll help you as much as we can.
If you're interested in a program like what Stitch is in, we can help get you in contact with the right people for that.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely depends on your, what kind of situation you have with the VA, but we'll find the best one.
Yeah,
yeah, and you can reach out to me through you guys too.
Oh, say that one again.
Oh, and yeah, if you guys, you know, people want to reach out to me through you guys, I'd love to talk to, you know, any veterans that are, you know, on the fence about this, or, you know, just dipping their toes in. Yeah, it's a very positive and very supportive environment. And, you know, they don't load you down with tons and tons of stuff. That's why it's just 6 hours out of the day. You know, your first class doesn't start until 10 a.m. and then you're done at 4 p.m. And, you know, you get an hour for lunch. And then, an hour after you're done with programming, you know, they serve you up dinner. And breakfast is continental.
That's what we were wondering. How's the food?
It's really good. There's they got two chefs here.
Oh, so you can tell the VA's not doing it then.
Yeah. It's good food.
You got chefs.
There must be Navy guys here. Yeah. The Navy always had good chow.
Oh, come on. You're Air Force. You know you guys had the best chow.
Oh, yes, we do. Okay, fine. Yes.
Just own up to it until the Space Force comes out with chow hall.
The Army.
Yeah, the Army has the worst.
Definitely.
Food. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, the Marine Corps, they get tired of those boxes of crayons to eat, you know.
Oh, man.
Just kidding.
Yeah, we're just kidding. Not really, jarheads.
Kidding.
Hey, if you guys have any problem with what we're saying, you guys can come down to Vet Coffee on Thursdays at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Elks Lodge in downtown Astoria. We'll be down there and we can.
Yeah, you can tell us to our faces.
You can tell us like you eat crayons. what are the sick burns for the Army guys?
We got at least one Marine that shows up to that.
Yeah,
regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday I couldn't spell Army. Today I is Army. A-M-Y. Army.
So let's I want to wrap it up, but before we do, I want to know, like, so what's your thoughts and hopes of the future?
Just taking it one day at a time, and I'm noticing that, you know, things are slowly moving inside that have been stuck for a long time. And you know, I've been to another intensive outpatient program, and I think the whole thing is like, these are like buffets, you know, therapy buffets. It's like one modality may not work, but they've got like 10 different ways to come at it, and so one of those is probably going to end up working. It's the same in TACP. They would put us through different shooting schools, even civilian shooting schools, and each one that you went through, you know, you pick little pieces out of which ones work best for your shooting technique. And so it's the same thing with these. It's like, just because one residential program might have been a dud and you only got a little bit out of it, I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be impossible to come out of a place like this without being better, because there's just so many different ways they come at it.
So thank you so much for listening to Rogue Cell Radio. If you are a veteran or know a veteran and you have questions for us, please reach out. We're also always looking for guests and events that we can cover for the show. If we can't answer your question, we'll find someone who can. We'll talk again next month on the fourth Thursday. Thank you all so much for listening. And again, if you are a veteran or a veteran's family member who want to learn more about the veterans in our community, please come to our Veterans Coffee at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Thursday at the Elks Lodge in downtown Astoria. So we'll talk to you next month. Until then, Charlie Mike. Continue mission.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Together with Veterans Northwest Oregon or the Oregon Firearm Safety Coalition or the Department of Veterans Affairs. You can find us at roguecell.vet or facebook.com/groups/roguecell. If you or a loved one is experiencing thoughts of suicide, help is available. Please call 988 and press 1 for veterans. This line is answered 24/7, so there is always someone to help. And with help comes hope, and hope saves lives. The second of the 503rd Rogue Cell is produced by Brad Peitzig with support from Together with Veterans and is hosted by Sean Davis. Thank you for joining.